Gospel that Herod the Great, wishing to prevent the Messiah from being from rising to manage and possibly replacing in his own mind, set out to have every child of the two in Bethlehem slaughtered, and that Joseph was told in a dream to go to Egypt, and he stayed there until the death of Herod in 2 B.C. so that the prophecy might be fulfilled, that out of Egypt I have called my son. And that they came back and did not settle in Judea, which Herod's successor, Archelaus, had jurisdiction, but settled instead in Nazareth in Galilee. And it was there in Nazareth in Galilee, in order to fulfill the prophecy of Jeremiah, that he should be called a Nazarene. It's easy for us to lose sight of what a tremendous mystery the Incarnation is. How God, in His infinite condescension, deigned in order to be creator of the universe, to become one of us, to enter into our fallen nature, and as John says in his Gospel, to literally pitch His tent among us. How He had nurtured the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, through hundreds of years of obstinacy and rebellion, and how despite all of this and their rejection of Him, His love for them was unwavering. Upon the cross He hung and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." God, the infinite and omniscient, knew the outcome of His incarnation. He knew the moment that He placed the curse upon Adam as He threw them out of the garden, when He said to the serpent that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent and the serpent would wound His heel. He knew at that moment that He would be the one that was bearing the punishment, that He was the one that would be suffering and ultimately redeeming those for whom He was inflicting the punishment. It's very difficult at times for us when we realize how much evil there is in the world, and we lose sight often of the mercy that God shows upon all of us in our lives. That He entered into this suffering. He became a small child and placed His care and trust in the hand of a mortal, of a holy one, certainly, our blessed, glorious Lady Theotokos. But certainly His human life, His human existence was placed in contingency upon her beneficence and upon her love. And upon her faith. Just as 2,000 years after the events described in the Gospel, ultimately whether or not the church survives, whether or not we are faithful, is in our hands. He ultimately placed His life in the hands of a mortal woman. He placed the salvation and His whole plan of salvation in the hands of frail humanity. And He places the same kind of confidence in us that we will be faithful to Him, that we will preserve the truth from generation to generation to generation. And I stand it before you because people have been faithful. Because so many nameless people over the centuries have been faithful to the promise, to the blessing they got us today by becoming men. And reflecting upon what one can say about Christmas, in a world which sees Christmas primarily as gift giving, and all the pagan rites of Santa Claus and reindeer and everything else which has supplanted a truly Christian understanding of the feast, and we are blessed in many ways for being on the Julian calendar, that the rest of the world now is chasing after all of these pagan rites and pagan mythologies, it falls on a day in which there's no conflict. God preserved the holiness and sanctity of the Feast of Nativity so that the rest of the pagan world is chasing after and celebrating a day which was changed primarily because of the stars. And as we say in the Tropari, the Magi who worship the stars, the Magi who worship the stars learn from the stars to worship the day star, the creator of the heavens, the Word of God incarnate. Most of the world, whether it be materialist and atheistic, or whether it be pagan and occultic, still worships the stars and the movement of the planet. How many of us open up a newspaper and we see the astrology there, going all the way back to the 12 great, the 12, and I should say not so great, pagan constellations, which were supposed to govern everyone's life, the fates, as the Greeks call them. And how many of us live our lives as though the stars matter? It was for this reason that the early church didn't celebrate, and the Orthodox don't celebrate birthdays. It doesn't matter what day we were born. What matters is the day we were baptized. What matters is the saint for whom we're baptized. That is why we celebrate Names Day. And for the first 300 years of Christianity, until there was a mass influx of pagans with the granting of religious tolerance by Constantine and the full acceptance of Christianity as the state religion of Rome by his successor, Theodosius, the church didn't celebrate the nativity of Christ because it didn't want to celebrate birthdays. And I hear this argument all the time. You know, the Christ couldn't have been born on December 25th because, the shepherds were out in Jerusalem and in December, the sheep aren't out in Jerusalem. And they missed the point completely. It doesn't matter what day we celebrate the birth of Christ if he was in fact born on December 25th. It doesn't matter what day you're born. It has no governance over who you are and what your life is going to be. We are not subject to the movements of the planet. We are not subject to the hour and the day that we are born. And it's for this reason that the church doesn't celebrate birthdays, because the pagans celebrated such things and still do. They mark the seasons and the times based on how, who, and where you were born. The Chinese calendar, it's a 12-year cycle named after various animals, and according to their mythology, everyone born under that sign of the pig, the dog, the dragon, has the same fate and the same fortune. Fate and fortune are words which Orthodox shouldn't even use. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from thee, the Father of life, I say, before the Amnon. Our life, our breath comes from Christ. And the Holy Spirit, we say, is the Lord, the giver of life. Fills the universe with His presence, with His presence. Christ entered into this physical world, this world of matter, this world of cells, this world this biological world in which we live, this world, the world it seems to worship now, which science seems to say we're just a chemical mix, a chemical reaction. The difference between believing the stars govern us and that we're only biochemical isn't much. It's still paganism. The belief that chemical elements like hydrogen, oxygen, and carbon somehow govern who we are, and since we can now understand at the minute level the breakdown of how we are constructed, doesn't mean that we're governed by them. The Magi came with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold for Christ's divinity, frankincense for his high priestly role as the great high priest that he is supposed to fulfill, and myrrh, and what can put on dead bodies to make them smell, you know, sweet for his birth, for his death, and his rebirth to new life, to the resurrection. These are the things which the world treasures at the time. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the world still treasures gold. And how many religions, especially the pagans, thought that by making an offering of incense to God, that he was going to bring favor and prosperity to them in his life. And myrrh, a very expensive ointment which was used to anoint the dead. How many of us think that we can cover the mask of decay and corruption through fine-smelling perfume? We can cover the reality of our fallenness and of our need for salvation with the sweet smell of the myrrh. It's a symbol, an image of the struggle of a life without God, seeking gold, seeking false religion, and seeking to cover the corruption with the fine smell of all that is created in this world. This is the image of the pagan world. And these things were offered to Christ by Zoroastrians, by those who worship the stars, by those who were into the ancient art of astrology, who were following that one star of Bethlehem looking for the sign of the Messiah to come. And there are many fancy explanations of the stars and alignments and planets which created this effect. It doesn't matter. As long as our attention is still focused on things of this world, of the material created world, we are more than the sum total of all of the chemicals which make our bodies, of all the physical atoms and energies which make us human. We are more than these things. It is to see the spirit which gives order to all of this, which gives order to the material world. It is our life spirit, our soul, which takes these elements, which is the Word of God Himself, took Adam and formed him as dirt out of the ground and blew the breath of life into him. That breath of life which gives life to the inanimate dirt is the same breath of life. The same breath of life which renews us through the Holy Spirit and sanctifies us and prepares us for the salvation which is to come. Brothers and sisters, when we think of Christmas, let us remember the awesome mystery that the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, became a man. He entered into the physical world. He took upon himself the created dirt from which we all come. He suffered on a cross. He died and he rose again to cleanse this physical world, to bring order back when there was chaos and disharmony. Death ultimately is a disharmony within the physical universe. And as St. Paul has said, the whole universe is in the pangs of birth, waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. It's waiting. It's waiting for the new heaven and the new earth that will come at the second coming, when that last trumpet will be blown when the Son of Man and the Son of God shall return with his angels, and shall call all those who are his to his own, and you shall then receive the blessed inheritance as co-heirs with Christ. So let us go out into the world and preach this good news. Let us live this good news. And let us not live with sadness, with decay, and with degradation of the world around us. Christ said we are to be salt of the earth. We are to season it and give it flavor. We are to be the light of the world. And that light began with a small child laid in swaddling clothes in a manger in Bethlehem. It began in an obscure province of Judea with a difficult and stubborn people, the Hebrew and Jewish people, and from there it spread throughout the entire world. And 2,000 years later, 2,000 years later, we now celebrate that small child in a manger, in a cave, in Judea. Let us glorify him. And like the Magi, let us learn from him to no longer worship the stars in this physical way, but to learn to worship he who created the stars. Lord, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.